I don't know. It's obviously, it's from the tour, isn't it? Is it a poster or something? It's the Waito bags. What? Why? Why have you got that? Why do you have 50 of them?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 119 somehow of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. And this week,
we're cutting our teeth with
confessions like we're in a 2011 waiting room.
Yep, this week's guest is Liam Crombie of We Are The Ocean and genuinely just being Liam Crombie. Yes, this week's guest, singer, songwriter, guitarist, guitar teacher, busker. Yeah, all-round good egg. Liam Crombie is this week's guest, and what an absolute treat it was for me and Morgan to have him to come on. Tell us his story, what he's up to now, what he's been up to. Things that have happened to him, massive changes that have happened to him. Yeah, we got loads of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, generally, this episode is just a pleasure for us to catch up with him and everything. But what an important songwriter to us seeing that for a lot of people listening, helps shape their lives, me included. I mean, Liam and We Are The Ocean is honestly an episode we've wanted to do since day one. If you've been with us since the early first 10, first 20 podcasts, you'll know we have a great connection between us and Liam personally. But this is a really big deal because not a lot of people will know this, but Liam talking about everything you're about to hear has taken a lot of strength for him because there was a period in his life, we're talking about We Are The Ocean and the aftermath of the band was a bit of a struggle. We go into this a little bit later on, but he's been through therapy, he's changed as a person. And as someone who's not active on social media, we get the full insight into everything since the end of the band. So you're going to hear stories on how it ended, finding himself as a person, if he has a future in music, just some humble stories from life. And it's a wonderful reconnection between three friends sitting down, having a laugh and shooting shit.
Yes, it took a couple of months of me going back and forth with Liam on the phone to persuade him to do this.
Yeah, well, that's something. You've actually have to had previous phone conversations with a guest for the first time to kind of shape it and to say, like, you know, we just want to have a lovely chat about you.
Yeah, well, I think, as with anybody who used to be in a band who, you know, the other band members haven't gone out and told the story as well. I think he was just nervous about that, really. And, yeah, hopefully we'll get Dan Brown on, former vocalist of We Are The Ocean, and we can have him to chat about his side of it as well.
And Alfie.
Yeah, it was super... And Alfie. It was just a super good chat, and it's just to see things have changed for Liam and changed within Liam as well. You know, we were lucky enough to tour together a bunch of times with my old band, The Blackout. And it was lots of fun. So thank you very much to Liam for giving us the time and trusting us, I guess. Like we said to him, like we're never out to get gossip. We're never out to hurt anybody. We just want to hear people's stories and stuff. So very, very good chat. And Yeah, it all lines up perfectly time-wise as well, doesn't it?
It does, Sean. That's a very good segue, because our good friends at Hassle Records...
Thanks, bro. That's why I made it, and that's why I didn't think we needed a bit where you said that's a good segue.
I was taken back, because there's no script to these, and as I was saying, our good friends at Hassle Records and former label of We Are The Ocean are going to be re-releasing a very limited and special numbered vinyl reprint of their second studio album, Go Now and Live. I think there's only 500 copies of these. I've seen a photo of all the different splatters and colours you can get on the vinyl, and it looks absolutely wonderful. So if you're a big music physical purchaser, a collector of vinyl, go and check it out. They also did a reprint of their debut album, Cutting Our Teeth, last year for Hassle's 15th year anniversary, and we even talked to them on episode 94 with a Hassle Records special. So if you want even more stories from behind the scenes of what it's like in the music industry as a label and early We Are The Ocean days, check that out after this podcast. But yeah, as Sean said, just really grateful that Liam could trust us with this, have a great conversation and just reconnect. So I think a lot of people will be surprised about some of the stories we get into, but it's deadly honest, and it's just a very good time. So before we get into it, if you would like to support this podcast in any way, please go and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. On there, there's loads of goodies and extra content you can get as rewards for supporting us, and you get put into this wonderful group of people that have made a community somehow from us two idiots talking on a daft podcast, and it's one of the best things we've ever been involved with in our lives.
True, very, very true. So that's patreon.com/sapnin. If you'd like to get in touch with us on Twitter or Instagram, get in touch at sapninpod. That's at sapninpod. That's at sapninpod. And let us know if you've got any guest ideas, topics you want us to talk about in the intros and outros. Just anything really. That's at sapninpod on Twitter and Instagram. But now, I think we should get into our chat with Liam.
Yes, this is the new Liam Crombie on Sapnin Podcast, opening up about everything. You're going to love it. Share it with your friends. Let's check it out.
Do it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Sapnin! Sapnin!
Hey. Oh, it's a little subdued one. Our guest this week is frontman, singer, songwriter, guitar tutor, legend, as of late, paranormal expert. Yes, this week's guest is the fantastic Liam Crombie.
Yes.
How are you, Liam?
I'm great. I'm good, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. I've really been looking forward to having a chat. Yeah.
Yeah. This has been one in the works for a while. We've had quite a few requests to have you on, so I'm excited we can finally sit down and have a nice conversation about everything.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And, you know, coming towards me and reaching out, and, you know, Sean, it's been great to reconnect with you over the last few months. I've really appreciated that, and, you know, hearing what you got to say about everything. And I'm just glad to be here. You know, it's been a good day as well. The sun's shining, and can't go wrong.
Good.
Oh, good. Nice.
Glad. There yeah. Yeah. Like Morgan said, me and Liam have been talking now for a couple of weeks about doing this. I probably hit you up months ago about doing it originally, but it just never really worked out. But here we are. It's happening. I'm sure there's going to be loads of people listening to this who are absolutely chuffed that we're all finally here together. how has life been?
Life. Yeah, it's taken forever. Life's been good. Like, it's such a big question, that, Sean. Like, I suddenly was like,
sorry about that. Yeah,
that's good. Life's good, man. Like, more recently in my life, I've moved to Liverpool and now engaged to be married to my fiance.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I find myself more at peace with myself these days, happier, lighter. Life's okay at the moment. In the grand, you know, with everything else that's going on, you know, I'm thankful it hasn't directly affected me. But yeah, I'm okay. I'm good.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things when we started chatting that I noticed that you seem to be in a happier, I don't know, I won't even say it, like, potentially more spiritual place, maybe. And you're doing guitar teaching now as well and tutoring and...
Yeah, so the guitar, I picked up guitar lessons about 4 months before lockdown. Before that, I was in and out of a few different jobs. I was working as a suit tailor in Liverpool Street, and then I was building furniture throughout different places in London. I found myself. What happened? I went to Nashville. I did some writing out there, and I came back and I said to myself, I've just got to play music. So I ended up doing guitar lessons, and then I was also busking. Busking has been the best thing for me, honestly. Well, obviously, I haven't been able to recently, but yeah, at the time.
How was that experience for you? Just kind of going out and, I'm guessing, playing with no pressure to anything.
It was amazing. What it did for me at the time was just bring back those feelings of, you know, why I love to play music and sing. One of the main things that I took away from, or what I loved when being in the band, was performing. And, you know, you could sing a song and make someone kind of feel in a certain way. And when you're busking, you know, you have all these people going by, different ages, different places, and you end up connecting with them. And you sing a song and, like, you know, someone might come by and then their kids are dancing along and having a song. And then someone might come over and just go, oh, I just needed to hear that song today. I don't know. For me, that was like, it just got back to like the root of why I did what I did and why I love to do it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Nice.
Yeah, because I was going to say, especially over the last 4 years since We Are The Ocean broke up in 2017, you've kind of been not radio silent, but a lot quieter in the public eye. I mean, the occasional social media post here and there, but nothing too much of it as a presence that maybe regular music listeners would have expected from you and stuff. In that period, has it just been nice for you to get away from that spotlight and focus on yourself and life and just find that kind of spiritual connection again?
Absolutely. Okay, coming out the cut, like the, obviously the band finishing was very, very hard. It was for me personally, it was a dark time. There was a lot of kind of abuse to myself. I didn't really like myself very much. And that was going on for quite a while, like even like during the writing process and recording of ARC, like that kind of negativity, that bad feeling kind of just crept in. And I think like there was a lot to do with like, you know, you go on tour for so long and you know, you have a party, you have a good time, and then more like more than just sometimes you're taking the bottle on stage with you. And then you're coming home from tour and it gets a bit quiet.
Taking the party home, like.
Taking the party home, you know, Sean, like, you know, so these things kind of happened. And yeah, towards the end, it was a hard, very hard time. The ending of the band, although very, very hard, and it was kind of hard to get over for years. When I look back on it now, I feel like I'm glad it happened because I need, like you said, Morgan, I needed space and I needed time. I needed to like learn more about myself and like learn to kind of like myself again, learn to love myself again, and you know, just kind of get past all the self-harming, you know, the nights out, the nights and nights out, you know, that kind of lifestyle, the behaviors. It was tough. I got counseling like two years ago in 2019. I come back from Nashville and I'd been there for just about a week and a half. I had a great time there, and you know, I wrote some songs and met some amazing people, and I came back. And again, like I was getting better, but I was still going out and, you know, kind of hitting that self-destruct button. It got to a point where I had a conversation with my fiance and, you know, we kind of spoke about it, and we kind of talked about it a little bit before. And it was at that point I decided, yeah, I'm going to get counseling. And it was the best thing. It was the best thing I've ever done. And since that moment, I've slowly started to kind of build myself up again from my foundations and just like, you know, learn to love myself, learn to be aware of my feelings, and, you know, it's okay to have boundaries. And also just like kind of a lot of my problems were like social situations. I didn't really know how to express myself the way I wanted to. And so a lot of the time drinking a lot of beer would kind of just like block that out. So learning how to talk and then also listen intently and have like a response that actually like I felt it. Do you know what I mean? Instead of just being like, yeah, mate, sweet. See you later. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Another beer,
another lager. Got well deep really quickly, didn't it, lads?
No. That's what we're here for. Like half the time people have said that this has been therapy for themselves more than anything.
Yeah, and we've had other people on in bands who have said the same things. They've gone through therapy. They're still in therapy, a lot of them. And we get a lot of listeners who literally take on board because... whether you like it or not, Liam, right? You are somebody's musical hero, right? Somebody on this earth, right, absolutely fucking adores you, right? Like some idiot did with me, right? But they're still doing it with you because you are very talented. So people listen to this and they're like, oh, well, if he's open and he's admitting to going to therapy, like we should all go to therapy. That should be a given. Therapy should be like free on the NHS.
I definitely need it at some point. I can tell you that.
Yeah. But yeah, we have people listening to these who are like, oh, well, you know, I didn't even think about going to therapy until I heard somebody. So please don't think negatively about it. You are literally helping people out by talking about your situation as well. So
I'm glad to hear that. I recommend it more. I was really lucky. I'm a part of the ISM, which is like, it helps you out. If you're a musician, you can get like some free like lawyer advice and whatever else. And it just so happened at the time they were offering 5 free counseling sessions. So that was my way of finding counselors. So if anyone's listening and they're a musician, check out ISM. Like they've got some really good some options there for you. But yeah, like I think for me, when I have told people about it, you know, some people say, "Oh, I'm sorry about that." And I'm like, "No, don't be sorry, because it has been the best thing that's happened." And so moving from counselling, we pretty much finished, and then the end of 2019 happens, and 2020, and I moved to Liverpool 4 days before that lockdown. I had I told you a bit about this, Sean, that spiritual awakening experience that I had. Should I share that?
Yeah, please go for it. It's super interesting. And yeah, like I've talked about my DMT experiences and stuff on the podcast before, and I've said how I apparently met God and stuff.
I had this, so we had this, there were no drugs. This was just an ear candle, which is used as a holistic medicine as well. And it's there to clear your chakras kind of thing. And I don't fully 100% know what it does, and I don't know enough about it really to go into detail, but I'll just share with you my experience of it. And I had, obviously, as I was on the mend from counseling and feeling pretty good, but there was still work to do. On the eve of a karmic cycle, which was the first time I ever heard that sentence, me and Ashley, my fiance, we had these ear candles, and we were like, let's do it, let's give it a try and see what happens. And you know, I tried it in my first ear first, and Ashley was holding the candle as my head was on the pillow. It was strange. I could feel this line going from behind my ear, down my neck, down my arm, through my back, down my leg, in my ankles, like the bottom of my feet, and then shooting back up. I just thought, like, at the time, get a grip of yourself, mate. Like, do you know what I mean? Because my leg started twitching as well. I was like, what's going on? That bit was just a bit bizarre. I didn't really think much of it. No, it wasn't until it went into my left ear. We did one there. At the point Ashley rested her hand on my face, I closed my eyes, and I felt my entire body just be kind of bang, just like just shook. I was falling through the black. I was just falling and falling. And I remember hitting the ground, and I looked up and I was looking around. It was just dark. It was just darkness. It was just so dark and sad. And I remember thinking at that point, right, I need to get out of here. And for some reason, I just kind of imagined what they say in the movies, like, or in the songs, like, you got to look for the light. And I was looking around and I saw this star. And when I saw the star, I thought maybe I can reach out. And I reached my arms out as far as I could. And it turned out like I could tear the black away like paper. And as I reached out, I just grabbed it and just ripped it back. And this blinding light, I've never seen a light like it in my life. It just shone down on me. It was blinding, and it was like so powerful. And then at that moment, like, it was so powerful. I wanted to and it felt good at the time, so I didn't want it to end. So I felt like if maybe I could try and turn the lights down a little bit, and I just mellowed the light down. And then from that moment, I had some visions. And one of those visions was, I saw myself in these like iron chains and just like breaking out of it. It was a bit like a Dragon Ball Z kind of sketch when I imagined myself. It's kind of weird. But like, I was like, proper epic, man. This thing happened, and I came out of my experience, and the first thing I said to Ashley was like, I'm not Liam anymore. I can't be Liam. I'm not that person. And it was the most realist feeling and thought that I'd ever had. I just knew I just wasn't that old person And I, to this day, I can't really quite tell you what happened, but afterwards and what's been happening afterwards has just been, you know, it's been amazing. Like I can see and hear things in a different way. I talk, like I can express myself better now. It was really healing. I had this amazing moment about 2 weeks afterwards. There's a mountain, or it's a hill. It's a very tall hill called Mull Famo. Or in Liverpool, they call it Mull Famo. It's North Wales. It's only a short drive away. During one of those times during last summer where you could like get away, we walked up the top of that, and I was at the top and I was just looking around, and it was just like the world was in HD. It's like I'd never seen stuff like that before. Like, there's a couple of times where I've just been walking around, I'm just having to stop myself from like getting a bit over emotional. Do you know, like I'm really feeling everything that's going around me. So it was at that point actually, Sean, and shortly afterwards when I started discovering what's going on, and something called like healing your inner child is something that I've been working on. And it was at that point that I was like, I need to talk to Sean. I need to talk to you, because a lot of, say, maybe the darkness or the baggage was not Weir the Ocean, but myself at that time. And obviously I was like, I need to talk to Sean, because I thought, if anyone's going to know what I've been going through or been feeling, it was going to be you. And I guess that's where the rest of this, and now we're here.
We first started talking, like, obviously you were a bit reluctant about coming on, I guess, and that's fair enough. Like, a lot of people are, because I don't know why. Like, I think a lot of people are expecting us to drag dirt up or pull some shit out, but that's never really the case. But
it was never you, Sean. It was never you. I think it was me.
Oh.
No, Morgan is.
Oh, what?
What a prick. You are right.
Fuck
it, isn't it?
Now.
Do you know what? I think. I can't talk for other people that have been on your show, but if they've been in previous bands, you know, press, as I'm sure you're well aware, Sean, is like, sometimes it can just go the wrong way, and you're not heard, or like you don't express yourself the way you wanted to. And I think that was all. It's nothing against you guys. Like,
no, I didn't take it. No, I was genuinely. We really wanted you on, so that's why I persisted anyway. And I've genuinely loved our chats that we've had.
It's been brilliant.
Just on the phone, yeah, just hanging out and stuff.
Yeah,
it's been awesome. What did your missus say when you came round and said, "I'm not Liam anymore"?
Oh, she was like, she just looked at me and she was like, "What?" I was like, I'm not Liam. She kind of like, she was like looking around for a bit as if to say like, okay, what's going on? And she kind of said like, I started explaining where I'd just been. Cause I was like, by the way, I've not been just asleep on the bed. Like, you know, I've been somewhere. And she said, I think you've had like a spiritual awakening or something. And she's like, she's super supportive, super, super supportive.
That's awesome.
In this. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time we've spoken, you seem to have grown, I suppose. Grown. That's out the best term I can come up with since we've kind of rekindled or recontacted each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say, like, that moment was just kind of like a switch was flipped, and just you've been able to experience a lot of things you probably wouldn't have in the past?
For sure. I'd say so. I think before, maybe like I kept myself so shut, you know, so closed, that I kind of you stop yourself from kind of feeling and seeing things. And
yeah, because I think as well, because Weir the Ocean started so early for you guys, you know, you were all so young, going on the road, making those records, the start of everything. And I think, as you said, it's easy to get caught up in that world of just going from the next show to show or after party and drinking all that, because Sean's mentioned it so many times of it being a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And you know, we can see that the last few years seem to be more happy out of the band, not musical or anything, but just in the sense of that finding yourself now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. We were young, you know, and when we started and during that kind of time, you know, there's no, you know, not saying the guidance kind of thing, you know, there's no one really kind of, you make mistakes. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean? You are young, you make mistakes, and you don't ever stop to really reflect because you're constantly in this world that's moving at 1,000, you know, light years an hour. What, light years an hour? I just made that up. it's moving pretty fast. It's moving pretty fast. And you don't have that time to reflect and just like check in on yourself sometimes, you know?
I think that's kind of a running theme with bands, I guess. I've said since we started this podcast, there should be some sort of aftercare for people who used to be in bands or were 100%. In bands.
Yeah.
Because I think people get so kind of left behind or forgotten about, or I know this is me being like, woe is me, but like when the end of the blackout happened, like all the loads of people I thought were friends or, you know, I know that the blackout had made thousands of pounds for and stuff. And there's me just desperate for any sort of job, any in anywhere. And I get in touch with these people and they don't get back or they've just disappeared. So I found such a crazy drop off with like friends in the industry, should we say. And that just seems to happen to so many bands. It's, you're worth something to people for a while. You can make everybody money. All right, you've stopped a view. Okay, nothing. Whereas I definitely needed therapy after the blackout splitting up. And yeah, I wish I could have had it then and there, to be honest. But
yeah. I'm really glad you've shared your experiences on that side of things, Liam, because I do think a lot of people don't see that side of it. And, you know, as you said, there's a lot of musicians who don't think about, you know, that it's normal for them and that we could all do with a little bit of therapy and improving on ourselves as individuals for anyone day to day.
My pleasure. Yeah, I'm glad to share it. You know, it's nice to share. It's nice to talk about it. You know.
That's the thing. Like, I think a lot of people are either scared to talk about it or don't realise they even need it. To be honest, because like you said, when you're in a band, you're kind of so much like you're just like a kid who can't be told. Really, so someone's like, you know, you want to calm down, you want to, you know, have a good night's rest instead of partying, and you're just like, shut up, I'm in this band, I'm doing well, you can't tell me nothing. And then after, you're like, oh no, they were trying to tell me, but I was so into myself that I didn't believe it. But yeah, as I said, it's so good to see you doing well now.
Yeah, definitely.
You genuinely do seem better than ever to me, and happier and stuff. How's the family?
Thank you, Sean. Cheers, mate. Family are great. Family's good. Dad's moved up to Liverpool.
Nice. Big fan of Mike. Big fan of Mike. Me.
A lot of people are. He's come back home. He's originally from Liverpool. He's come home and mum's well. Mum's good. Sisters and brothers are all doing well. Everyone's okay. You know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
Good. Well, if we can get into We Are the Ocean a little bit more. I mean, obviously,
let's do it. Yeah.
You've mentioned there the personal struggles of ending the band and everything leading up to it. But musically, did you feel like the band was ending for a while? Was it like a split decision, or did you all know on some level it was coming to an end?
I think musically speaking, I think we were a little burnt out towards the end because we had written and recorded quite quickly in concession these albums. Cutting Our Teeth to Go Now and Live was like maybe 12-18 months apart. Same going from Go Now and Live to Young Heart to Maybe Today, Maybe Tomorrow. It was a very short amount of time. And then I think we took the most time on writing Arc. And by the time, you know, going into the studio, I think the creative juices were just like, we were all pretty tired. Of course we would be, because we'd never stopped. When it comes to the band, that kind of conversation, is that what you mean, Morgan? Like the conversation of how it ended? Yeah. So I think there were There was a tour before that we were on, and there was like maybe about 6 months before where I was feeling like, I was like, it's not the same. I just knew it. I was like, it's not the same. And I started looking around and I could kind of see that on other people. And we spoke about it, and it was a difficult conversation. We spoke about it, and we kind of asked ourselves, like, where do we see it going? Where do we see ourselves personally? You know, like, where are we all within our lives? Like, well, where's everything going? And everyone expressed how they felt, and, you know, we all listened, and that was good. And from that conversation, I said, I don't think I can do it anymore. I don't think I want to do it anymore, which is difficult, but it was really difficult. But yeah, I said, I didn't want to do it anymore, because it just, at the time, so much was going on, like up in, you know, in your head and everything else. And yeah, so we decided we'd have one more tour, which was, and it was never like bad energy really between anyone. Like, you know, it wasn't like we ended because it was because of arguments or anything like that. Like, we I can't even remember a time when we really argued, really. It's just something that happens. And yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it just kind of naturally run its course in the end, because early on you were just going at it so fast?
It's a difficult question to answer. It's difficult to answer that, because naturally, yes, but then you think, well, maybe if I hadn't done that, or maybe if I'd done that differently, could it have been different, you know? You do ask yourself those questions.
Oh, I ask myself all the time. Should we have even bothered with starting the party? It's too fucking late now. It's too fucking late now. I've ruined it now. It's all gone now. So, yeah. But is there any possibility of ever a We Are the Ocean gig again, do you think? Like, how do you feel about it?
Well, it's the 10-year anniversary of Go Now and Live. That was a big album for me. I'd certainly be like open for I'd be certainly open to having that conversation with the lads and seeing, you know, where everyone sat. That's kind of where I am with that. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm sure the same with you, Sean. Like, there are times you go through and you're like, the band, like, do you get it back together? And I've had that, like, since it's broke up, like, you know, is it time, or is it like, you know, is it something you want to do?
Yeah, I think that's where we slightly differ, is the fact that my band ended and I didn't want it to. I was the only one who didn't want it to. So, whereas you're going like, oh, you might be thinking, oh, you know, get the band back again. I was like, yeah, I never left the bloody band. It's still going in my head. We just haven't played a gig for 5 years.
Mate, sorry.
But yeah, no, that's so good to hear. It's good to hear that you wouldn't, you know, you're not dead against it or...
No.
Or anything like that.
No, it's just such a big part of my life, like, you know, and the lads in the band, Dan, Jack, Tom and Alf, like, they were family to me at the time. Yeah, they still are, but, like, you know, in the van, on the road, they are your family. They're your closest friends, your buds. So, you know, something like that, I could never close the door fully.
Nice.
Interesting. Very interesting. But I did want to ask as well, I mean, I know you touched on you went to Nashville and for writing and stuff like that, but in these last 4 years, has there been any inkling for you to do solo music or a new project or anything? Because for a while you were doing a couple of gigs here and there, playing with our good friend Thomas Jenkins and Alfie and stuff, just doing acoustic things now and again. But I mean, has there ever been a plan for an actual Liam release?
There has, and I've written a lot of music. I've written a lot of songs, And there have been kind of plans here and there to release something, and then I've kind of stopped myself from doing it. That's like a kind, that's a journey all in itself, like Morgan. Like, it's something that it's a challenge for me, creating, and then like, it's not as easy as it used to come, and it's creating and kind of putting myself out there has been a challenge for me. And I'm at a point now where I really want to release something this year, because I just need to do it. And I just need to do it for myself, really, more than anything. And, you know, with everything that's been going on in the past 12 months, like, you know, it's really kind of put things in perspective that, like, all those dreams and all those ideas, like, you've got to share them with people. You've got to share them.
Well, yeah, I can tell you now that we all want it. We all want this Liam Crombie music. So stop being a dick and give it to us.
There it is. There it is.
Good lad.
Sorry. I thought I was in the blackout for a second. Sorry. Slip back into the old ways.
But if we're going to the creativity, I mean, I know you just talked about how regularly those We Are the Ocean albums came out, especially the first three, literally year after year. I think it was 2010, 2011, 2012, you released albums, which if you on a schedule, especially back then, is insane. What were some of the earliest memories for you writing those tracks, going on tour, going to the studio and doing it all over again?
Oh, that's amazing, Morgan. It was like, I should say now as well, although what we've spoke about so far, We're the Ocean was one of the best things to ever happen, and was one of the most amazing moments of my life so far. It was such an amazing time, and we were lucky to, you know, we worked hard, don't get me wrong. We grafted. We loved to graft as well. We liked being DIY when we could, and we, you know, we liked it when the odds were against us at times, and that was just who we were. We just loved the fight kind of thing. And writing and recording albums was, and playing gigs, going on tour, meeting some of the bands that you've been listening to, or been watching on. Can you say like other like media outlets on?
Yeah, you can fucking say Kerrang or Sky.
Yeah, I was gonna say Kerrang because, like, you know, when I was growing up, you watch Kerrang TV for your new music, like what was coming through, and then, like, you know, you end up seeing that band that you've watched on TV when you're like 13, and you're like, what is going on?
Well, yeah, what was a moment like that for you then, just before you go into the talking about the albums? Like, when was the first time you were like in a situation where you were like, what the fuck is going on? Like, how have I...
It's like every day, mate. It was every day. Yeah.
Good, because, yeah. After a while, I kind of got, not jaded, but kind of, blasé to it. Just kind of like, all right, yeah, I'm going to be doing this forever. Like, I thought I was going to be playing Children of the Night until I was, like, 70. Do you know what I mean? I was going to be, like, old fogey of the night, but it's not happened. It hasn't happened.
For sure. To add to that, sure, like, it did get towards the end. It was more like that. But, you know, during the free Go Now and Live, Maybe Today, Maybe Tomorrow, Cutting Our Teeth, that kind of era, that time, like... Mental. I remember playing the Astoria. That was that was insane, because I've been going there for so long, seeing all like my favorite bands, and then it was supporting you guys.
Yeah, that was that was nuts. Somebody sent me footage from that the other day, and it was awful, but it was a good gig. I remember enjoying it and loving it. Because we had just... It was that gig that we became one of four unsigned bands to ever sell out the Astoria, and that's because we'd just been dropped by Fierce Panda. How lucky is that? How lucky is that? We've just been dropped. Yes, we're one of four all-time bands. Yes. But yeah, that was a fantastic tour. Us, you. Was that from first to last?
Yeah, another band, which was just like...
Yeah, and... Ooh, the Medic Droid, who didn't last very long.
No.
No, they were on the tour, and I think Snoz gave the singer a bottle of vodka off a rider, And then we found out the next day that he was meant to have a dry rider.
Oh,
man, some
troubles,
I didn't know that.
Some troubles happened. But anyway, yeah, moving on. Yeah, from first to last.
Moving on swiftly.
Yeah, we talked to Matt Good on this podcast about From First to Last, and I remember just prior to it, because we were on Raw Power. Were we on Raw Power? I think we were just about to join Raw Power. And I remember us getting a big email from First to Last's management saying, like, they wanted a certain temperature constantly on the bus. They wanted, like, certain rider stuff, and we were like, they're supporting us, mind. And we were sharing a bus, and I remember the air conditioning was broke on the bus the first day we turned up. I was like, From First to Last are going to turn up and just piss off straight away, surely. But I remember that to be genuinely one of my most favourite tours that I've ever done in my life. What a good bunch. What a great, like, us, you. To be honest, I don't really remember Medic Droid. I know there was two of them, but I don't remember any more than that. Just you guys, us, and From First to Last, just having a laugh every night. And it was just amazing. I wish we could go back to 2008 or whatever it was.
Ah, it was good, man. Leave it there. Let's move on.
but saying that, though, I think I saw something before when I was researching for another episode. And I swear We're the Ocean and the Blackout played more times together than not by the time you did all the tours you had done and festival appearances and everything. So, I mean, it must have been a wild ride with you two lot from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember us being backstage in Germany, right?
Yeah.
That's never a good start.
Anytime you go, I remember, it's just going to be like, oh no, what's it going to be? Yeah.
What did we do? No, it was... I remember how excited Reese from my band was. Reese, who plays bass, used to play bass in the Blackout. He loved farts. He loves farts. He loves fart noises. If somebody can make a fart noise off the cuff, Reese is chuffed with it. And I remember a certain someone, he will not be named, I haven't named him, can literally suck in air through his bum and then fart on cue. And I remember Reese just crying, laughing, just watching it. And I was like, we're meant to be a rock band. Like, surely there should be some sort of girls or sex or something cool going on. And then we're literally just watching a man on his back sucking into his ass and then farting back. Rock and roll, guys. Rock. This is the stuff people are listening for. These rock and roll stories. Like. But yeah, oh no, we had some fantastic times together.
We really did. Like, for going through Europe. Do you remember being in, was it in Poland? Where someone had fireworks.
I saw the video to that the other day as well. James yeah. got it on his phone. We had fireworks. I think it was in Belgium.
Okay.
We had fireworks and we had a giant tube.
Yeah. You used it like a rocket launcher.
Yeah. So after the gig, is all of us standing out by a bus, having a go one by one, just shooting rockets into the sky. Rock and roll, man. Oh, rock and roll.
Yeah.
God, health and safety are going to be on your asses for that now.
Someone's coming back with you with a bill for their cracked window.
Belgium, like all the way from Belgium. Oh, it was all you bastards, was it?
It was you. Yeah. It was you.
Yeah, 9 years ago, a firework came through my window.
Good times. But no, good times.
But like, for you, Liam, what was that kind of whole scene like, looking back on it? Because I think there's a lot of music fans who really grew up in that period, you know, including myself, who you all shaped our influences going forward. You know, if you look at We Are the Ocean, The Blackout, Kids in Glass Houses, Yumi at Six, Deaf Havana, Canterbury, I mean, the list just goes on about how many incredible bands were from the UK at that time. I mean, when you look back at it, is it just something you're so proud to have been a part of and make all those friends and influence a whole generation of fans?
Absolutely. Absolutely proud of it. Yeah. It felt at the time it was something special. it felt at the time it was something special. And, you know, I often go back and listen to like some of the old bands, Canterbury, Straight Lines.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah.
There was a band, People in Planes. I don't know if you've heard of those guys. They were around.
Rings a bell.
We met them. They were supporting Funeral for a Friend, and we toured with those guys, and it felt special at the time for sure, man. Like,
oh, it was magic. If you look back, now, right, when all of us were signed to Raw Power, Raw Power literally had the evil umbrella of all of the bands. Like, I tell you what we'll do. Let's just cover them all. Let's sign them all. Let's sign all these bands. One of them's gonna do all right. And Bring Me the Horizon did. So luckily, Craig, that and Bullet and Valentine. So yeah, well done, Craig. It was worth signing 7,000 bands for those two. What a time when you just literally look at all those bands. What unbelievable. We were in an incredible... I don't think the scene has been that strong since. I don't think there's been...
To be honest, I don't think... If I'm listening to... I can't find it. Like, if I go into Spotify, I go, okay, what's going on at the moment with bands and kind of new alt rock bands, call it, or... pop punk, whatever. I'm probably just biased, but I really think like there was some amazing songwriters and some amazing singers, and you know, pushing something that, you know, if we think about it now, when we look at like popular artists these that like at the moment, like Post Malone, say, like emo trap. Not saying that we influenced them at all. I'm not saying that, but like, you know, not just us, like people around us, like people working on the tours, people managing, like people promoting, like everyone is involved with like bringing that kind of sound to people's ears. I think, like, you know, the radio pluggers, even like getting bands like The Blackout on the radio, like, you know, that would have been something.
How did they manage it? Yeah. How did they? They must have given some fantastic blowjobs to make that happen. Like,
wow.
I remember my friend from Merthyr, right? He was disappointed. The Blackout had a song called The Storm, right? Which was one of our best songs, I think. But we brought it out as a single and it didn't like chart or didn't really get played. I think it had C-list on Radio 1 or whatever. And my friend from Merthyr, for some reason, he was so into that song, right? He took it on himself. He was like, I reckon I could get Zane Lowe to play this. And I was like, I don't think... If our radio plugger, who we pay to plug a radio, can't get Zane to play it, don't think you can. And I just remember having a massive argument about it with him. And it's... It's mad. It's what a mad time. I just look back at it now and I find myself just laughing sometimes at the things that we all did and we were all allowed to do. It's just, it's bonkers.
It's mental.
Festivals, just loads of shit that we did. It's just...
Sean, do you remember going down to Bristol Beach, playing the beach sessions down there?
Yes.
For Boardmasters. I think we did that once or twice with the Blackout. That was possible. I think that's like some of my fondest memories of being on the road, was driving down to Cornwall and playing the Bristol Beach sessions. Because we'd end up making like a bit of a holiday out of it. I remember we were there for like 5 days and we did a bit of surfing. And obviously we saw you lads when you came down. We had a good old time there as well. I've got some great... I often go back through the old photos and stuff. That time always comes up. It was a beautiful time. It was amazing.
I've only recently been able to kind of look back on the Blackout stuff then. I sort of online videos and stuff. But then I find myself getting lost then. Then I want to be like, oh, guys, check out how good this band is. And then I'm like, oh, I'm on my own. Number one, I'm on my own, so who am I talking to? And number two, it's my band as well. What do you want about you, fool? But yeah, like, I look back at it now and I'm like so fond. And yeah, like I said, I was so blasé at the time, or jaded at the time, that I didn't take in what was going on fully. And now you look back and you're so appreciative of it. Yeah. And I don't know whether that's ego because I've lost it all, And I'm like, oh, remember how good that actually was? Oh, you fool. Or was it genuinely that good? And at some moments, I think it genuinely was absolutely unbelievable. Do you remember your first Kerrang Awards or anything like that? Do you remember like seeing, I don't know, Dave Grohl up close or anything like that?
Yeah, I do. This is mental. I met James Hetfield and Kirk Hammett on the red carpet. I don't remember meeting them.
Oh.
Like, it was one of those, I think we were nominated as a newcomer within, like, I think it was the first 12 months of being in a band, maybe just over. And obviously you go there and it's just like incredible. Like, all these people are there and there's free drinks, and you just, being 20, 21, just get way out of hand. And I think, I met James, like, two massive heroes of mine, James Hetfield and Kirk Hammett, on the red carpet. And someone, can't remember who it was, I think it was Max from Umi at Six was there. I was like, Max, get a photo. I was in bed by 11 o'clock. I was going home.
Right. Yeah. Bob did that. Bob's first Kerrang Awards, he got drunk on the Bullet whiskey they were giving away for free.
Right.
Bob got drunk on it, ended up spewing in the toilets, then they kicked him out, and then he ended up outside on the floor being sick, and then somebody took a photo of Kerry King from Slayer holding a Kerrang Award, standing over Bob while Bob's spewing. The photo's online. Bob's got spew coming from his mouth. Yeah. And Kerry King's got an Alcoholics Anonymous t-shirt on as well, as he's standing over him. And we later found out that was Mastodon's tour manager's computer background for a full year, because he was so happy with that photo. But yeah, some of those parties are wild. I just remember walking around and going, oh, there's Rob Halford. That's strange. Oh, there's Liam Owlett from The Prodigy. What? And I just remember just going, we shouldn't be allowed near these people. This is crazy.
It was, mental. It was so, so surreal at the time. I remember just kind of feeling, you just feel like a kid. Like, you feel like you've just walked into Toys R Us for the first time. Do you know what I mean? You're looking around and everything's just amazing. For me, like, my mindset at the time was like, right, you're only going to experience this one. Just experience everything as much as you can, you know. That was the mindset, instead of, like, probably being a bit, maybe should have been a bit more calmer and be like, okay, take a breath, take it in.
But that's the thing, it's hindsight, isn't it? Like, the thing is, we didn't realise at the time, and we were both having good times, like, you know, for the majority of it, up towards the end. But, we've had some fantastic, amazing times.
Mm. Yeah, but the thing is, I think, you know, you guys and the host of bands I mentioned really soundtracked growing up and people finding those times for so many people. So yeah, it's definitely a period that is looked back on very, very fondly. But if we can go back to that kind of songwriting element that you touched on, Liam, earlier, especially with those records coming out in quick succession, how did, like, those processes go? Because, as I said, you know, having a record out every year for 3 years is an insane turnover, really, especially with the amount of touring you did. So was it just kind of writing on the road, or stopping, going into the studio and hashing out any ideas you had? I mean, how did all those records come together?
So mostly, I'd say, like, Cutting Our Teeth was mostly written off of the road. We were still really learning how to be a band at that point as well. We recorded the first EP, and Nothing Good Has Happened Yet had kind of catapulted us into this place. And even then we were like, wow, that happened really quickly. Like, what do we do now? We were still trying to really figure out, you know, the live performance, like, kind of building on that and bringing it up to a point where, you know, we were playing these tours and we were like, wow, we need to do some work. Like, we need to really practice out and work on our craft there. So, like, I'd say, like, Cutting Our Teeth was, and, you know, kind of the title of the album says it all. Cutting Our Teeth. Yeah. We did it. We did it. We we worked on that, and we worked on that. We had like a good time away from touring for a little while, so we worked on that. And Go Now and Live, the album afterwards. There was a period in between Cutting Our Teeth and Go Now and Live where we recorded a short 4-track EP, and it had had a song. The single from it was Lucky Ones, and it was at that point when we recorded those four songs. We had Lucky Ones, a song called Playing My Heart, Waiting, Get Out While You Can. And it was at that point where we had new tour manager. We had Brad Sullivan.
Nice.
Absolute legend.
Yeah.
And
shout to Brad.
Yeah. We had Brad Sullivan, and we were touring with, you know, like Canterbury, Funeral for a Friend, these bands that had big anthems and just big songs. And we were like, you know, on tour, you'd stay at Brad's house in Leeds. Like we basically lived there for like a year. And, you know, some of it was written in his front room. And some of it were written, you know, while you're on sound check. And then we kind of come to a point just before, maybe like 4 months before we were heading into the studio, into Middle Farm Studios. That was the first time we went there with Pete Miles. We got into the local studio to us, a place called Sound Lab Studios. And big shout out to those guys, by the way. They're massive help for us throughout the years. Really supportive. We started writing there, and really, it was around that time, sorry, going back to the EP, where you could hear that Weird the Ocean could be this kind of melodic, it can still have its heaviness and it's kind of like its aggression, but we could also have this melodic side to it. And it was always about trying to find a balance between that and being able to tell a story through a song where people can connect to that. And it was around that time where I started hearing that. I could hear that the songs like Playing My Heart, and, you know, going into writing more songs like that. We liked it. We really liked it because Mayday Parade was another band we were on tour with at the time. And when we were on tour with those guys, the EP had just been released and Lucky Ones was going down a storm on stage. And we were like, we could do more of this. Like, we could do more of these kind of songs. We got back and we were recording. Well, we were demoing at Sound Lab, and that was coming together. Just before we went into the studio, we had our first European tour, and we had like this huge headline tour in the UK, and it went really well. We went through Europe first time there, and that was an incredible experience. Met so many people that you'd end up being friends with for life. Like, there's people I still talk to now from that tour. We had this, there was a crash at the end of the tour on the way home. That was pretty hairy. Dan broke his blanket, he didn't break his leg, but the crash had broken his leg. And
ouch.
Yeah, it was pretty heavy. I broke my nose. There was, you know, no fault of anyone's, like, in the car or anything. I think it's just one of them mad accidents that just happens. And from that point, we had about two, three weeks before heading down to Middle Farm, where we had probably like maybe like a third of the album written, and pretty comfortable with that. And it's at that point where I think personally, from our experience of touring, all the touring we had done, like at that point, after that kind of moment of having that crash, it was just like, whoa, it was a bit of a wake-up call for us. And we ended up really just hitting the writing really hard, going in. And for myself, like, writing about the things I was writing about, like, lyrically, I just felt like more so than ever, it was like right to, you know, it was okay to just like let it out, just let out like whatever the song was and whatever it needed. Like, it's like therapy, like being able, I expressed myself at the time through songs. That was my kind of my therapy. Going into that was kind of the process going into Going Now and Live. For me, that was one of the fondest memories of writing an album and going through the process, and then going down to Middle Farm Studios. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's this little place in Devon. It's in the foothills. Like, you can't get Wi-Fi. We went at the beginning of December, This was before we were snowed in. And Pete Miles had come to a show like maybe like a month or two before, and we agreed to go, like, you know, we said then, like, hey, he's going to record the album. We were excited. He was like, come down to my studio. The studio, I think we were the first album to record an album in there. It's basically a 100-year-old, like, foundations on this like the house, and there's a huge farm. Like, the studio didn't have heating. We had these gas fires going off we were in the elements. It was so good. It was so, so good. And then the snow came and we got snowed in, and we thought, oh, are we gonna get home for Christmas? We're not too sure. We got back on Christmas Eve. Yeah, it was amazing. mental time. Sorry, just going off on one there. I'm trying to like recollect all the memories, and there was some funny times, mate. I've got a video somewhere, and I think I'm gonna try and share it soon, because obviously it's 10 years since Go Now Live. But it snowed, and where the studio was on this massive hill. There was a hill behind it, and we got an airbed, and it was just going down a hill when it's been snowing. So I blew up the airbed, and that was my board going down. Oh, unreal. Unreal. It was so fun.
Nice. So basically, do you see all those songs as just kind of like snapshots of your life back then, now, like when you look back at them?
Yeah, I do. And even like time before that album, like there were songs written on there about people from the past there. But yeah, it is, they are like snapshots. Every song has like, every song has a moment in my life, or like, you know, if it was a song that I've been heavily involved with writing, like there was, I could always tell you what that lyric might have meant, or like where it come from.
Yeah. And with everything reaching a decade, now, I know you're going to be doing a lot of kind of mini celebrations with Hassel Records and with some re-releases and stuff.
Yeah, Hassel have re-released the Go Now Live as a vinyl, which I saw for the first time today. It looks great. Mm. They've done a great job. Hassel, Wes got in touch. I just wanted to help them as much as I can, because again, like they were someone else that was, they were very influential and very supportive of the band at that time. I just felt if there's anything I can do for you guys, then more than happy to help out. So this new vinyl's coming out. It looks amazing. Yeah, I'll be getting one for sure. I need to get a vinyl player though. Need to get a vinyl player badly.
Well, yeah. Oh, do you need a plastic bag to keep that vinyl in?
Well, in fact, I do.
Are these 12 inches wide? That's the question. So basically, people can't... This is a audio-only podcast, so they can't see this. But
what we'll do, Sean, is we'll get you to take a photo of this thing, and it'll be on our social media pages, at Sappening Pod. Boom.
There we go.
Correct, it will. But basically, my mother a couple of months ago probably... Oh, I don't know. It could have been 2018. That's 3 years ago now. That's how quick. last year went so quick. It's taken 3 years with it. My mother went out, found a load of old The Blackout t-shirts, and then she must have found 50 to 100 We Are The Ocean bags. So we've got
amazing.
50 to 100 plastic We Are The Ocean bags. So tell Wes, save himself some printing. If he chucks Sean a couple of quid, I'll get them bags back to him.
Get a free bag.
Hassel, we spoke to Wes. We had Wes on the show a couple of months back. And yeah, we've been trying to get you before that. So prior to all that as well. We were excited to get you before then. So they're awesome. What a label. And Go Now and Live, what an album.
Yeah, he spoke very highly of you as well, and said that, you know, working with the band was probably one of his highlights of Hassel and Satyri.
That's such a nice thing to say. He was like such a good figure to have, such a good like kind of person to be around, like during that time as well. Like, you really felt like he had your back, and he did, like, you know he really supported the band and pushed it as far as he could. And there was someone else at the label as well, a guy, Chris Baker, as well. He left, but he was there at the time as well. I thought about him today because I was like, I don't know if he'll be listening, but I just want to give him a shout out and just hope he's good, because he was a big part of the band at that time as well. Shout out to Chris Baker there as well, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully he hears this. Chris, let us know. Let us know, Chris.
But with all that as well, Liam, I mean, just a couple of quick things now before we let you go. You've mentioned some very beautiful stories of your life in the industry and everything, but is there any one mad interaction or anything that really comes to your mind when you look back at life on the road and getting to play with some of your favorite bands and touring and everything? Is there anyone you've met that's blown you away or given you advice or anything like that?
I thought about this today because I thought you might have asked me this question. And we were on tour, I think it was with The Used, and Hexes were playing, Dan Carter's band.
Okay, yeah.
And I was talking to the bassist, I think it's John, his name's John, right? We were chatting, and I just thought about it today. I was like, it was when I was talking to John. I said to John, and I was talking about like old days of when I used to go to gigs. I was like, I used to go down the square, and you know, Square was in Harlow, it was a great venue. And I used to see like, you know, the Foamers there and Leftover Crack, Choking Victim, Cap Down, and like the Filaments. And like for me, the Filaments back then were like fucking mega, like, because I still remember their songs. And he just looked at me, he went, "The Filaments?" I went, "Yeah." He was like, "I was the bass player in the Filaments." And at that moment, I was like, oh my God.
Oh my good Lord.
Oh my good Lord. Honestly, like, I've never been so starstruck from meeting, I think because it's like a bit of a surprise as well.
Yeah.
It was a really nice moment to like meet him. I was like, well, thank you very much, those songs. And also to a lot of my friends, like, them songs were, they brought us together. Like, there were so many memories of me and my mates, like, you know, from Loughton. And, you know, if we were at a party or something, we'd be singing them songs, 100%. If I saw them now and I just started, Trevor was a skinhead sitting at the bar, they'd all just come back, sipping on his pint of beer and listening to Scar. Like, that is what would happen.
Nice.
That's
awesome.
Those moments, aren't they? Yeah, lovely. Lovely moments.
Yeah. And is there anything else really we can expect from you going forward? I know you
single.
Said...
Single? Yeah. Is a new single coming? I don't know. Sorting out.
That Sean's adamant about. I know music is something you're trying to put out with yourself as well, but is there anything else we can expect or maybe we should look out for?
I think for looking out for, like, musically, I want to release something this year and I plan on doing that. Really, I just want to talk to more people. I want to reconnect with more people and just kind of be more open with like social media and just kind of, I don't really do it much and I haven't done before in the past because I suppose I just didn't really feel confident enough to express myself in that way, you know? It's a different way of talking, isn't it? Like, and communicating social media. And I think just for me, like that, yeah. Yeah, there'll be some music, but if you want to come say hello, like, you know, by all means, come say hello, and you know, I'm all up for having a conversation.
And where can people contact you about getting guitar lessons?
Oh, okay. So guitar lessons, you can email me at liamsonlineguitarlessons.com, at gmail.com. There's an Instagram page for that as well. And you can have a look on there and you'll probably see like a video of me playing guitar and there'll be a cat in the background somewhere. you can get me there.
Nice. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for this.
It's been a pleasure, man. It's been great to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been an absolute honour getting to just reconnect and seeing you grow. I have genuinely seen you grow. Probably since you were about 20, 21, like.
Yeah.
And you've grown into a beautiful, beautiful human who I appreciate very, very much. I speak for all of us when I say we can't wait to hear you on a record soon.
Yes.
And we're all looking forward to it. And fingers crossed something happens and we could all somehow make some sort of The Blackout and We Are the Ocean gig again.
You know it is.
He's booking it now. He's booking it now.
Shoe on that in
there. Yeah, write it down.
He's already spending that money in his head now.
It's gone. But yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
As people listening to this are going to be like, thank you for the music. Thank you for everything. And yeah, thank you for the inspiration. And thank you for keeping on.
Yes.
So yes, let's do one of these in the flesh when we can.
Absolutely.
I hope Liverpool and your family are great. Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you so much, man.
Oh, man. That was... Oh, mate, you have no idea. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, like, talk to you lads, and I'm really glad that I've done it now. And it's been really good to reconnect with you, Sean, and Morgan, as you as well, mate, because, you know, you're as much as part of it as everyone else, you know what I mean? So it's really, really, really nice to speak to you again, and thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yes!
Awesome.
Lovely.
Love
what a fucking guy.
So much.
What a guy, what a voice, what a songwriter, what a guitar player. I don't doubt he was a fantastic suit tailorer as well, because everything the boy puts his fucking hand to, he's really good at. So again, thank you very much to Liam for coming on. I loved reconnecting with him. I've loved spent the last couple of months chatting back and forth with him, and we like video called each other a few times, and yeah, it was nice. It was just, yeah, nice to reconnect. I'd like more We Are the Ocean stuff.
Oh,
I'd like to see some We Are the Ocean stuff as well. Yeah. That'd be fantastic.
I wouldn't be bad with it. I mean, we know all the big festivals listen to this, so I mean, hey, but book them. Book We Are the Ocean. I'd love to see that in a field with friends, hopefully when all this pandemic thing is over. But yeah, Liam is just an awesome human. Someone I've been lucky enough to connect with over the years as well. I remember once he came in to do an acoustic session for the radio show I used to do and stuff. And yeah, just a fantastic human being. So grateful that we got to share his story and everything he's been up to. And that's the thing, right? I mentioned he's not really active on social media that much. He posts now and again, but like things like going to Nashville and doing suits and everything like that, you wouldn't have a clue.
No, exactly. This is the thing. That's why we want him on, because we want to know what's going on, what everyone's been up to, and yeah. And I think this was a very, very good and revealing chat with Liam. So again, thank you very much, Liam. Let's fucking hang out when we can, when this bloody virus pisses off. Because I'd love to see him and spend more time with him in dans la flesh,
yeah,
as the French say.
And fingers crossed, he will release some solo music at some point, because we're all after it. So come on, just drop some tracks for us to have a sing-along with.
Stop fannying about, get it done.
Funny enough, lately, and during the last year, especially in lockdown madness, I've listened back to a lot of We Are the Ocean, and I just want to say one track in particular, if for somehow people have missed it or want to go back and really find their love again for that band. There is a track on their third album called Chin Up Sun, which I think if you take it into context of modern day and how everyone is struggling with stuff and to trying to see the positive in things, is a beautiful, beautiful song. So that's my recommendation of a back catalogue track to check out. And of course, Hassle Records are re-releasing their Go Now and Live album on a special vinyl reprint to mark its 10th year anniversary. That will be in April. So head over to Hassle Records' website for all the details on that. And go and check out episode 94 of Sapling Podcast that features Hassle Records talking about their love for the ocean and what it actually takes to make records and be a label.
Yeah, it's not as simple as, oh, got this song, send that out.
It's not.
It's two more processes. You listen to the song, check the song, press the button, and then press accept for the money.
Yeah,
I think that's what it was. I tell you what, I'm going to go back after this and I'm going to have a listen to that Hassle Records one, because I'm not sure how it works. But yeah, check that out, Hassle Records. We also had former We Are the Ocean member Alfie kind of pop on the one we did with The Dangerous Summer at 2000 Trees.
Yes, correct. I want to say that's episode 44, but I'm not sure if it is. If it is,
do you know what?
That's a great memory.
Right, yeah. If it's episode 44, let us know at Sappening Pod on Twitter and Instagram. If it's not, let us know on Sappening Pod on Twitter and Instagram. We need to know if Morgan is right or wrong. So send us, yeah, if Morgan is right, I want a nice gif of someone saying, Morgan, that's correct, or correct, or something like that. Send us your best gifs with the answer to, is episode 44 the Hassle Records episode? Jesus Christ, it took me ages to get that out. I'm so sorry.
Fucking hell. But yes, give us a follow on our social media pages as well at Sappening Pod. Just get in touch. Drop us a message. Let us know who you'd like to hear on the podcast in the future. Tag the guest. Tell them why they should tell their story with us. And if you're listening to the podcast for the first time, please go and subscribe everywhere you listen to these podcasts. Whatever platform you choose, it helps us very much. Leave a review on Apple if you have an iPhone. Be nice and just get out there. Spread the love to your friends. And speaking of spreading love, the best way...
Oh, no, you're not going to tell them about... Oh,
No. I was going to say Well, this sentence is dodgy now you've said that. I was going to say the best way they can give their love to us is by becoming a member...
Is in test tubes.
Our Patreon page, patreon.com/sappening, where you can help us continue to make these podcasts each and every week for free. You know you don't, because you need to sign up to get some goodies. So ignore what I said. Patreon.com/sappening. And there's loads of extra... What I'm trying to say, Sean, there's extra things you can get. And there's a wonderful community that we love. Tell them about that.
Yes. Yes, there is. Yes. So when we started this podcast, we thought we'd start a Patreon to see if we could keep it going, because we needed new gear and stuff. And... over the last 2 years, we've created a community of individuals that is the greatest community on the internet. I will TM that is as well. That's trademarked. If anybody wants to fight me, bring it on. Not in the group, obviously, because we all love each other very, very much. Outside of the group, I will fight you, but you will have to join the Patreon to find out where the exclusive fights I'll be doing this summer. So, yeah, patreon.com/sappening. We've made an awesome community of absolutely brilliant people. So I genuinely 100% believe that we wouldn't have been able to get through the last year without them. So thank you very much to everybody in the group for just your support, but not just for us, for each other as well. So thank you very much to everybody involved in our Patreon. I know we talk about it every week, but it is fucking the most special thing that's come out of this podcast. So
it really is. And as we say, it definitely helps us go in. So don't be shy. Check it out and come and join the family. And while we're mentioning them, we should say a massive thank you to certain members of the Patreon. So if you head over to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we like to thank. But Sean is now going to give a mahoosive, gigantic, special shout out to the elite members of our Patreon podcast community. Those are the top tiers, and they've probably changed their names to something funny or offensive.
I don't know if we've given them enough time, and that's probably for the fucking best.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you very much. We are super grateful to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwowe, Janelle Caston, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Dilly the Sweetest of Sweet Potatoes Grimwood, Nathan Croshaw, Kelly Young, Paul Hirschfield, Scooby Drew Styles, Mike Langler, Liam Connolly, Kelly Ewing, Kat Besant, Sammy G, Armadine Urbano, Shani Meyer, Boxell Anderson, Tony Michael, Justin Dunn, Amy Campion, Johnny Phillips, Scott Goosefat, hashtag Goosefat Roasted Potatoes Jones, weird. Thank you very much to Dan Gies, Simon Amos, Kate Stevenson, Jenny Munster, Danny Eaton, Lucy Deards, Emily Senegals, Martina McManus, Erin Howard, Becky Andy, John and Emma, Jenny Robertson, Jason Heredia, Louis Cook, Marty Jacobs, Sandra Kuchek, Caroline Robinson, Kelly Cannon, Kevin Clark, Carl Pendlebury, Livy Cropper, Stuart McNaught, James McNaught, Tallulah Grant, thank you very much, Lydia Henderson, Sharif Awadali, Keris Andrews, Ollie, sorry we're incapable of enjoying wholesome things, Amesbury, Chris Howard, Jacob Turner, Josh, what do you call two birds stuck together, Velcros, Crisp.
What?
Oh. Thank you very much to Alice Wood, Adam, King of the Goths, Parslow, and last but not least, Connor Lewins. Jesus Christ, we got to stop this. We've got to. There's too many names now. We got to find a new perk or something. I'll go to the house and kiss people rather than have to read names out.
That's not COVID safe, so I don't know if that's.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
And some of them live in Australia, mine, so like you'd have to go pretty far.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Thank you to all those people. I do it as much as it sounds like I don't enjoy doing that. I do enjoy doing it, and I massively appreciate all of these people. It's just when you talk like you've got a mouthful of soup like I do, it's really hard to get all these bloody names out in a row. So thank you very much. If you're still listening to this, thank you as well, because that's fucking mad. If you're not part of the pit, tell you what you could do. Get in touch with us on Instagram or Twitter at SappeningPod. If you listen to this bit and you're not part of the Patreon, because I don't think anybody who's not part of the Patreon listens to this bit.
I hope they do, because we have a good laugh sometimes. Some of the funniest bits we've ever produced at the end of these podcasts, because we go
definitely,
mad.
Definitely. Yeah.
But yeah, if you'd like to sign up to the Patreon, there's loads of extra content coming as well. We're dropping things all the time, from playlists to Q&As to bonus podcasts we found from the archives and everything. But before we go, Sean, is there anything else you would like to mention? I believe when this is being released, it's Bandcamp Friday.
Ooh, Bandcamp Friday. I'm in a band, so is everybody else. Check out raidersbanduk.bandcamp.com today on this Friday, because all money goes towards the bands. So if you have an unsigned band friend, an unsigned friend in a band, Jesus Christ, I hope nobody's
friend.
Listening to this.
An unsigned friend.
Yeah. If you've got an unsigned friend, right, who's heard of bands, go to their bandcamp.com because today they can earn more money. So, yeah. Anybody's band you like, check them out, find out if they've got a band camp, support them this Friday, but more importantly, support my band, Raiders. Raidersbanduk.bandcamp.com. Thank you very much. We got 4 songs up, they're all alright, I reckon. There's one more to come, I think, at some point. So, yes, Raidersbanduk.bandcamp.com. Right, I'm done.
Nice.
Is there anything you need to promote?
Just my social media at mhrichards_, if you'd like to know what I get up to, if I do get up to stuff. That is the best place to check it out. And we'll be back next Friday and every Friday with a special guest for you to listen to and have a laugh. Next Woo-hoo! One is a nice treat. So I think we're bringing all the treats we possibly can. So if you enjoyed this one, you'll enjoy next week as well.
Is that the one
we've
done with The Rock? Oh, I've said to. Anyway, Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Sorry, Morg. Sorry, man. I didn't mean to slip up there. Shit.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.